All right, I'm just recording the old-fashioned way, the phone. We'll go ahead and get started. I can't see any participants either. We'll go ahead and start with introductions, and we will start with Nymphs. How about ODFW?
Morning, Chris, and everybody. Rank Mature, ODFW.
Greg Marius, South End.
Matthew Lessard, Marin Forks Hatchery.
Corey Loft.
Kelly Races, yeah, please. Sorry, Corey.
No worries.
This is Kelly Reese. Kelly Reese, Springfield.
Chad Prophet, Willamette.
Jeremy Romer, Springfield.
All right, anyone from Fish and Wildlife Service? BPA? How about the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde? All right, moving on to the core. How about Willamette Valley Project?
Hey, Chris, it's Jeff Helms.
Mike Taylor.
Thanks, I heard Greg Taylor and Jessica Gordon.
This is Mike Pomeroy, Foster Dam.
Hi, everybody. Doug Garlitz. I'm also the phone number ending in 04 just because I can't trust my WebEx audio. Thank you.
All right. How about from water management or water quality?
This is Sammy Cataldi.
PME. Fish Field Unit.
Bob Worthammer. Steven Sachs.
Patricia Matson.
And then others, I know Chris Bedai is usually on. Are you on, Chris?
I'm here, Chris.
And then Darren, are you on? Darren Galling. All right, we'll go ahead and get started unless I missed anyone else. All right, so in regards to the April minutes, I did receive an email from ODFW just saying no comments on that. Other than that, we'll go ahead and finalize unless other folks need more time. All right, moving on to action items. There were none, so let's go to updates. North CNEM, Greg.
Yeah, I can start. We finally got the rest of our 21-23 springers ponded from the indoor troughs to the outside ponds. Got pretty low density, so everything's been looking pretty good. Unfortunately, they were diagnosed with cold water disease. We did get medicated feed in to them. Yesterday morning, we began the process of 10-day treatment. But that being said, we all of a sudden saw mortality start to drop way down, to normal average standing. So they might have fought through it themselves. We're still going to proceed with the medicated feed. It was found that the cold water disease was in the brain, which was kind of a new thing. So it takes a little bit longer for the medicated feed to actually take effect. But the mortality is not outrageous. It's not concerning. So yeah, things are looking good there. Other than that, on the squeaky wheel on the Marion Creek intake dam, we got about 20 ponds running right now, and we have no spill going over the dam boards. So it's going to be interesting when we get 48 ponds up and running this summer. I'm not sure if we'll have the water, so it might be a discussion later that we'll probably have to have the Horn Creek intake running to meet the needs of water. And unfortunately, that also means that Horn Creek is cooler, so might not be able to get that growth on the fish that we desire. So other than that, that's what I got.
All right, down at Minto, as far as collection goes, it's been a good return on winter steelhead. We're currently sitting at 472 winters that we have passed up above, and we're to already 456 summers, which is a lot compared to recent returns, and considering our water's still 46, 47 degrees. So collection-wise, it's going very well. And I will leave it at that, and we will go to the next item.
Thanks, Greg. Any questions or comments on that? Any other maintenance updates or anything else for the North Sandian?
Do you want to give an update on Minto maintenance as in terms of what we chatted about yesterday? Greg, I can if you want, but feel free to, Todd, if you'd like to give the update.
I mean, not much to say. So, you know, we actually, Greg, would you like to give any update?
I'll let you give them the outline of what you told us yesterday, and then I will add anything if I need it.
Sorry, I meant Greg Taylor.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, guys.
This one's getting passed like a hot potato. I'll take a shot at it. So the bottom line at Minto is we have a budget issue there. That is making the Minto maintenance a pretty difficult situation, and I know everybody's frustrated by it. I'm frustrated by it, and we're working to resolve it. Where we're kind of sitting budgetarily is that, you know, we have funding available to pay, keep the lights on, to pay for the electricity, and to fund having the EDG in place down there, but we don't have a lot of other discretionary dollars, and we know we've got some things that are going to come up for the remainder of the year. So it's pretty tough situation. We're doing everything we can to try to do something about the budget, but that's also very difficult. There's not a lot of deeper dollars, unfortunately, around the district this year, which makes filling that gap really tough. Here's the bottom line. If there's a situation down there that requires us to act, we're going to act. That's the bottom line. We're going to act. We're going to take care of whatever that is. There's a laundry list of outstanding maintenance issues that are down there. We're going to hopefully get some of those addressed as soon as we possibly can. But in the interim, if something comes up, we will act, and then we'll backfill some way somehow that budgetarily. So there's ongoing discussions with ourselves and RDFW on this, and we're going to continue to work together to try to resolve all this stuff. So, and I just want to say to everybody, we just appreciate you guys. I know you're frustrated. We're also frustrated with it. So I had a conversation with Eric and Dustin this morning, so we're actively talking even more about it, trying to work through this stuff. Thanks.
Hey, Greg, thank you, and everyone. This is Bob Wertheimer. And let's kind of talk the contract nexus here, because, of course, we've got the Willamette Valley Hatcheries under contract now. Minto is a collection facility that's owned by the Corps of Engineers. And so when we run into the contract and we have to work funding issues, ODF&W has been good about saying, hey, can we fund that issue, if it's a repair? And then it gets down to some contractual issues of whether it's considered real property, personal property. And so, for instance, with the lease, we're trying to work through that issue right now. And then people come to me and say, hey, they want to fund this. Can they? We have to make sure we do it properly, or we run into issues. Last year with Willamette Valley Hatcheries contract, I think we had over 13 modifications to the contract between arm and E and different O&M issues that were going on. And so contractually, we ran into issues where we couldn't even execute other contracts that we were trying to get awarded because we got so spun up around issues. So like Greg said, we thank you for your patience. We are trying to work through these things. We want to make sure we do things properly. And I think everybody's tracking these contracts. You know, were converted from cooperative agreements really recently, like 2019, I believe, with Willamette Valley Hatcheries. And while a lot of us feel that cooperative agreements are a much better vehicle because it provides more flexibility, we're not allowed to do that right now. So we're following process. We're doing our best, like Greg said, and we'll take any questions and just be. We thank you for working through it with us. Over.
So I guess my thing here is Minto, as far as keeping the facility running and open, it would be the safety, obviously, to myself and my crew and to the fish. Without really inspections and safety things going on with the cranes and hoppers, I'm not able to move and process fish like I need to. Also, the pre-sort valves and stuff are not operational. Our main backup generator, obviously, hasn't been operational in 11 months. So I guess it'll be Ryan and up, but right now I don't feel comfortable holding brood stock, either our stock or the McKenzie's, if we don't get these fixed. So I am asking for the help now.
No, we hear you, Greg. And we are also, along with the hoists, along with some other issues, we're working, and we appreciate you helping us prioritize as you have been. And this is really, a lot of this is contractual, and we can take this offline and follow on. I know people are time limited, as I and the contracting are, but we will work through this, and we are working to address these issues. I've got a number of RFIs out with contracting on different issues we're working through right now. Greg, over.
Yeah, good discussion. I appreciate the updates, Bob and Greg Taylor. I guess, Greg, the one thing, just last thing for me on this one, I was a little bit surprised to hear from Todd and Steven yesterday that it sounds like the budget issues kind of rolled into your FY25. So obviously not ideal for any of us. If there's things we can do to help in terms of messaging, from ODFW, from the region, or from this group, however, let us know. And if you can, share any of your internal messaging with us, we can help kind of push on some from some different angles for FY25. That's it for me.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Brian.
Anything else on the North CNEM or this topic? All right, we will move on to the South CNEM.
Hey, morning, everybody. Things are good at South. As of now, the only fish we have on station are the summer steelhead and our legal rainbows. We've been working on getting ponds ready to get our spring chinook in the near future from Willamette. Fish health okay. We're treating for costia. Started that this morning on the summers, and we're waiting on some cultures. We're thinking they're probably starting to break with cold water. running good there as far as maintenance and everything. And then last 2 weeks, we've been hauling our rainbow, started doing that. We've done repeater quartz and North St. Anne so far. As far as collections, been pretty good. We've collected 411 natural origin winners. Those all got taken to River Bend. We've seen 660 summers so far, which we only trapped 412 all last season, so that's starting out really good. And we've seen 158 spring Chinook, and 8 of those were natural origin, and those are also taken to River Bend. That's all I have.
Thanks. Any questions or comments?
Yeah, just real quick, this is Ann. I was wondering, is that 8 NOR spring Chinook an early number or about what you'd expect this time of year?
What I'd expect.
Thank you.
This is Todd. I don't have any maintenance updates, but Chris, my question is, any issues with electrical reliability?
We've been having issues here and there with the crowders, but there's been an ongoing thing. Nobody can really figure it out. You got to flip the switches on and off. I know Minto knows this issue, and then they start working. But no, it's been really good over there.
And specifically with the new power, the temporary diesel power setup, like no issues there?
Oh, yeah, not at all. Nope, everything's running smooth.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Heard anything else on the South St. Anne? All right, we will move on to McKenzie.
Good morning, everybody. All our fish have been moved down to Willamette, so we are completely dewatered at the moment. It's given us a good chance to catch up on some long overdue grounds maintenance, hitting that pretty hard, trying to get that done this week. Next week, we're going to start, I think, helping setting up the sorter at Liebert Dam, and then adult collection ramps up for us, and that'll be our focus for the next little bit, especially with other fish on site. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Questions or comments?
Yep, I have one here too. I was curious about last year when adult collection was taking place, and I think numbers were maybe low all around, and that harkens back and will probably recur this year if we think of 2020 effects trickling in. But I was wondering where you decide to put fish collected in terms of once they've been collected, if they're not just going to be from the sorter put directly upstream, if you're moving them, how do you decide whether to move them to, say, higher up past South Fork or into South Fork, if ever? And I'm not sure that's ever been done, if they've been moved into South Fork before, say, the end of the year, where they might be moved to get above Cougar.
Hey, Ann, this is Ryan. I might take a poke, and then Corey, feel free, or Jeremy or Kelly, feel free to chime in as well. So in terms of the fish at the sorter, so, you know, the sorter has a number of objectives, collecting hatchery fish for broodstock or maybe just collecting broodstock, and then reducing PHAS in the section, you know, between Lieberg and Cougar. And last year we did, a pretty amazing job of that. In terms of outplanting, I think, you know, we've always put fish above Cougar, with maybe a few exceptions, last year being one of them just due to the run size. And so I think really in terms of like prioritization, it would be collecting enough adults for broodstock. This year our plan, other than we just, you know, heard about some issues at Minto, but the plan this year is to transport and hold adult spring chinook for broodstock at Minto. Adults in excess of brood would then be all above Cougar and released, and that tends to happen later in the year for a number of reasons, which we can chat about if you want. I don't know if that answers your question or not. or others, feel free to chime in.
That does make it clear to me that it was super unusual and that that wouldn't have normally happened, that none were put above.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the first in recent history, but it was the first in my memory, at least.
Just adding to that, I do know that 20 NOR, I think it was 20, were put above Trail Bridge Dam, and I don't remember getting a call about that, and Lance Prusik also doesn't remember getting a call about that, so I think while it's in the HGMP that that can happen, it is supposed to be discussed with NIMS ahead of time.
Thanks, Josie. Jeremy may remember. I thought, and I could be wrong, I thought the fish we put above Trail Bridge, were actually HORs. Was that not the case?
I can't remember right off the top of my head, but I can look back on that. And, yeah, I mean, we typically don't move fish, natural origin fish, like that without checking with NOAA. So I'll check on that, too.
Okay, thank you. While I'm talking, I also was wondering if I feel like I've heard little snippets here and there about what is going on with Mackenzie Hatchery and Leybourne Hatchery this year, but I don't think I have a full understanding of how long is Mackenzie Hatchery going to be dewatered and shut down? Is the whole hatchery being dewatered and shut down? Is that also happening at Leybourne? And then what is the plan for the rest of this year with the fish that would typically be there or typically be returning there?
I can...
Yeah, good question, Jesse.
Do you want to take a stab at it, Ryan, first, or you want me to try?
I'm happy to, and then feel free to fill in, Chris. Yeah, so both hatcheries are currently dewatered. Josie Leybourne just as of last week, and then Mackenzie maybe the week earlier. As Corey mentioned, the juvenile spring chinook were all holed in Willamette. Both facilities will be dewatered through October, and so we won't turn water back on at either facility until November 1st. The rainbow from Leybourne were all released. The collective chinook between the two facilities were hauled to Willamette, will be moved back to Mackenzie / Leybourne November 1. Adults will be collected for broodstock at the Leybourne sorter, which isn't too dissimilar to the last couple of years. The last couple of years we've held adults at Leybourne. This year we will transport and hold adults at Minto.
Okay, just the hatchery.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. I think you covered that well. I guess just so you're aware, Josie, or anyone else that may or may not know, that the primary water supply at Mackenzie is currently never going to come back due to the Leybourne Canal. I assume everyone knows, but just want to reiterate that.
Okay. Yeah, I think I had heard something about that, too.
Anything else on Mackenzie or Leybourne?
Hey, Chris, this is Bob. So since we're talking Leybourne and Leybourne is dewatered, let's give a quick update on the line from the hatchery raceways to the abatement pond. That line is out right now. Currently, we're looking to see if we can repair the line rather than replace the line. We're looking at some different techniques, some different liners. So while the hatchery is dewatered, we're hoping to get that line repaired and up and running prior to rewatering up the facility this fall. Over.
Thanks, Bob. All right, anything else? We will move on to Cougar.
All right, things are going well with the cougar. We've caught and transported seven bull trout this season above the dam.
and we had our first spring Chinook on Monday, so expect those guys to start showing up here soon. Maintenance-wise, I'm not aware of any outstanding maintenance that needs to occur up there, so that's all I have. If anyone has any questions.
I had one question. Are we still flowy tagging Chinook as we had in previous years? So similar operation?
No. Last year we talked with Jeff and we decided to start implementing that after September 1st. So currently we will not flowy tag any fish until September 1. And then last year the numbers were so low that Jeff just let us take everything up there after September 1st. So I think we'll follow that plan unless Jeremy or Jeff have anything else different to say.
Was that driven just by numbers, or were there other reasons why we reverted back? I like that idea of reverting back, but I'm just curious as to what the decision-making process was or the rationale.
Jeremy might know better. I mean, I know the genetics have shown that, you know, the majority of the fish prior to September 1 were, assigned to fish above the dam. And then, you know, after September 1, the majority of them were assigned to fish below the dam. So I think that's kind of what's driving that. Jeremy, do you have any other?
No, I think that's spot on.
Okay, thanks.
Good to hear. Okay. Any other questions or comments on Cougar?
The collection of samples for that check on that assignment is still going on, right? That's still part of the hatchery biop that continues for the next round of pedigree analysis in Cougar?
Yes, absolutely. And we've been taking genetic clips on every single fish that has gone above the dam since 2010. So we've got all the samples.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to the Mill Fork. Who wants to go with Willamette?
This is Chad up at Willamette. Fish culture is going good. We just we completed a treatment for some hexamida, just getting the fish ready for marking and tagging. We'll start next week. Hopefully the following week we'll be able to start getting some transfers out to South NAM. We're going to hit their group first, but all the fish look good. Crews get through a lot of maintenance and stuff. With marking and tagging being delayed a week, it kind of opened up a little time in our schedule, which has been nice, giving us time to catch up on stuff. Update at Dexter, we opened the trap Monday. We got it open kind of later in the afternoon. Doug said about everything that could go wrong for him went wrong, so it took him a while to get everything in place, but we're up and fishing. Right now it looks like we've had about 100 summer steelhead come into the trap. We don't have any Chinook yet. We're hoping with the summer steelhead down there that we've got some Chinook in the area and we'll get Chinook swimming in here soon. But even with some of the water issues down there, the trap is functioning, at least getting a steelhead in. Curiously, we've seen some Chinook smolts entering the trap. I've actually got Doug trying to catch some of them just to see if we can find any clips on them so we know if they're research fish or they're some of our fish. We don't generally get smolts coming back up into the trap, but it could definitely be connected with the fish that were mistakenly placed in Dexter instead of the main stem several months ago. So we're hoping to kind of verify where those fish came from if we can, to sort out if they're coming through Dexter on their own or if they're one of the releases. So be curious. He's having to try and hook and line them because they're so small that they go right through the crowder, so we can't actually get a hold of them through the normal trap operation. So we'll see if he has any luck